This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Choiceology is a show about the psychology and economics behind the decisions we make every day and how to make better ones. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman. Join me as I share true stories from Nobel laureates, athletes, authors, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better decisions in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I am a mom of two, a wife of one, and my question is, going into this new year, I feel like I'm on a hamster wheel, just trying to do what I love, but also juggling being a mother. And I feel like there's no right answer, and I'm so sick of the toxic positivity telling me I can do anything I dream of, when the reality is, as a mother of two very busy boys and a wife of a very busy husband, I can't do everything I want to do.
Welcome to How To. I'm Amanda Ripley. So in 1982, Helen Curley Brown published a book called Having It All: Love, Success, Sex, and Money. It became a huge bestseller and an enduring cliche. Ever since, as we know, women have been trying to have it all and failing. Even Brown herself actually hated that title, but it's been really hard to shake. So today, we're going to try to forcibly retire this idea and figure out, if we can't have it all, what can we have? What is possible in a society that, let's be honest, offers pretty threadbare support to working parents? Our listener Janie from Arizona, who you just heard from, she carved out some time in her frenetic schedule to workshop this problem with us.
So I got married very young, about 3 months after I graduated high school. I had my son about 2 years later. You know, I went back to work when he was 5 weeks old and I was 19, and I had no idea how to take care of a baby, no idea how to have a full-time job as an adult. So I was divorced on my 22nd birthday, and then I remarried about 2.5 years later. When I had my second son, I had to go back to work when he was 2 weeks old. And I feel like since they both were born, I've never stopped.
Her sons are now 5 and 12, and by day, Janie works as a pediatric occupational therapist, and by night, she's a ghostwriter for social media influencers. And a lot happens in between all of that.
I wake up at about 5:30 and go for about a 2-mile walk in the morning. I come home, get the kids ready for school, and make sure all their bags are packed for sports. So we pack all the bags, load them in the car so they're ready.
Wait, when does breakfast happen? Do you eat breakfast?
I actually don't eat breakfast. Mostly out of convenience. I call it intermittent fasting so that I like feel healthy
like
about
it's
it.
Intentional, right?
But yeah, but really it's just survival.
Okay, so you pack all the bags, you pack the kids.
My younger son, his school starts earlier. I drop him off, take my older son to his junior high, and then head to work till about 3. And during that time, I'm also doing my social media. I'm doing billing for other occupational therapy jobs. I'm doing multiple things at once. From there, I will pick up my kids, drop them at home, and then I will go to my next occupational therapy job, which is home visits. And then from there, I'll pick the kids back up and we'll go to sports. Somewhere in there, I've cooked like a good meal for them. Like, I put the pressure on myself that they have to have like a seated plated meal, and then bath, shower, homework, younger son goes off to bed, and then the whole thing starts over again.
Now, you might be thinking right now, what about her husband? Why isn't he doing any of this? And we'll get to that, I promise. But before we do, it's worth mentioning that the pandemic has, of course, made this whole having it all racket even more impossible. Women were disproportionately affected in the labor market. At one point, when so many schools were closed, leaving families with no childcare, women's labor force participation rate actually dropped to levels not seen since the 1980s. back when Helen Gurley Brown was exhorting us to have it all. So Janie is right. This is a hamster wheel. And lately, it feels like it's rolling backwards, which is why we brought in this week's expert.
My name is Amy Westervelt. I am a journalist. I run a podcast company, and I wrote a book about balancing life and work and kids and how it's impossible.
And now you have the answer. We're done. It's impossible.
Yeah, basically.
Amy's book is called Forget Having It All: How America Messed Up Motherhood and How to Fix It.
You have the quote, the like famous quote I've reposted 10 million times, right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know it was going to be you. I've literally posted that. I told my husband that I'm going to get it as like a lower back tattoo. Like because it's so true.
Amy's quote is this: we expect women to work like they don't have children and raise children as if they don't work. So kind of a big tattoo, but there's a lot of truth to it. On today's show, we're going to help Janie and anyone else who's raising a family and working multiple jobs and just needs a moment to themselves at the end of the day. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman, a behavioral scientist and professor at the Wharton School, and the author of the best-selling book, How to Change. You may have heard expressions like, time to get up and going, today's bad decisions aren't going to make themselves, or bad decisions make good stories. But really, no one wants to suffer the consequences of making a bad choice. Join me as I share true stories from sports heroes, Nobel laureates, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll discuss the latest research in behavioral science and dive into themes like whether we can learn to make smarter decisions and how powerful it can be to get a do-over. And we'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better choices in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Okay, let's start with the obvious. Where the heck is Janie's husband in all of this?
So actually, he pitches in quite a bit. Like, he does 100% of the laundry. I don't know many husbands who do that. And I am so grateful
That's awesome.
That. However, my husband works in organ transplant. He's gone, you know, 12, 14 hours a day.
That's a bummer because it's also really hard to argue with, like, organ transplant.
Totally. Totally.
Right. Oh, off saving lives. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really tough.
Yeah. I mean, most weekends we're out of town with lacrosse or hockey, and I don't really feel like I can ever catch my breath.
It's worth mentioning here that part of Janie's devotion to her older son and all of his athletic events comes from only getting to see him 50% of the time.
My ex-husband and I have joint custody of my oldest son, and it's week on, week off. And I did the math and realized I'm going to literally miss half of his childhood. It killed me. And so I'm actually so grateful that he has these competitive sports because that's an opportunity for me to see him.
Yeah.
So you feel a lot of pressure to be there.
Yes. I'm the mom that knows all his friends' middle names. I'm the mom that like throws all the parties and has the sleepovers and I'm at all the sports things. And so for me to like actually say, hey, buddy, I need to take a break, it guts me.
So you are really trying to have it all, to be the superman.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And there's a lot of pressure you're putting on yourself, which I understand.
Well, and it's so tough because I feel like the answer usually boils down to you figuring something out. This is an embarrassing story, but it's too funny to not share. I was like so desperate for time to myself that I actually made up a whole conference that I had to go to. It was a lie. It was a huge, giant lie.
That is so amazing.
I love this. I love this.
I was like, it's in New Orleans. I have to go. It's 3 days. I'm speaking at it. I mean, it was an elaborate ruse. And first of all, it was amazing. No regrets. Secondly, like, I came home and sort of came clean to my husband. And he was like, okay, if you're willing to go to that extreme, let's figure out some kind of way that, that like, you know, we can just plan that into our schedule for you.
I have to share a similar story to your conference one, but mine is like very extreme. And so like I said, I practice occupational therapy and I heard about humanitarian trips in Ghana, Africa for occupational therapy. And of course I wanted to help the people of Ghana, but also I heard it was 14 days away. I was working 14 hours a day, showering out of a bucket, peeing in a hole in the ground. Like really what pulled me was the idea of 14 days alone, like without anyone needing me to get the cup of milk or to like cook the dinner.
Ghana is a very far way to go. To get a break.
And yeah, so it was pretty extreme.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I wonder, it reminds me of a good friend of mine when her children were really little. She was driving them somewhere and she had a near miss, a near car accident. And she remembers literally having the thought, you know what? A week in a hospital wouldn't be so bad.
Oh yeah.
Isn't that terrible?
And
she, of course, she obviously immediately felt terrible. That's when you know, like you're too busy.
What can I do to get arrested, but like then be proven innocent? Like, can I frame myself for something?
If that is not a red flashing light, I don't know what is. But it also leads us to our first insight. Our society clearly needs to do more to make mothering doable. We can't fix this on our own. And in the meantime, one thing overwhelmed parents can try, if at all possible, is to take a short, scheduled time out to try to figure out what matters most to them and then what they can give up. This is called a strategic absence, and it's actually backed up by research. My husband and I have a tradition we call a thinkcation, where every couple of years, one of us will just go somewhere on their own just to think and take stock. Sometimes it's literally a hotel 45 minutes away, but that little bit of distance is so helpful.
We did actually work out this thing for a while where like maybe once a month or once a quarter, I would book an Airbnb just like down the road. I could still like meet up with them at, you know, if there was some kind of event or even come home for dinner and then go back to my Airbnb. Which,
oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
It was amazing. Like a lot of my friends were kind of like, what's happening? Are you guys breaking up?
And
I was like,
yeah.
No, this is 100% like necessary to.
This
like,
is a marriage saver.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually great.
Like Janie, Amy also has 2 boys, 9 and 6.
So my second kid was a total surprise. In fact, at that point, my husband had lost his job and I was supporting us. I feel like whenever you're in that kind of a situation is also when like all of the expensive surprises happen, you know? So it's like my car broke down and then like we had to move suddenly because our landlord was selling the house that we were renting and, you know, just things happened and I wound up, really not being able to take more than the day I gave birth.
Oh my gosh.
I actually filed a story from the, like, you know, recovery room. And because my experience was that with my first kid, I told all of the people that I was working with that I was pregnant and that I was going to take, I took 6 weeks off. I lost like 50% of my income by doing that. So when the second one came along, because I was the sole income in our family, I was like, I can't risk it. Like, no one knew that I was even pregnant. So anyway, yeah, I mean, this was kind of the genesis of the book I ended up writing, was that I was, you know, sort of like walking to the mailbox to get a check and feeling sort of like pleased with myself that I had, you know, just had a baby and no one even knew about it. And I hadn't, you know, missed a beat. I was like, that is so, what a messed up thing to be proud of, you know?
I just was telling someone in a very braggy way, like, I haven't had a day off work since March 13th, 2020. Like, I felt so proud of myself. And then, like, as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, that is so gross. Like, why am I so, why am I so proud of that?
Yeah.
Especially
but
now.
This is the piece of it that we can control, right? There's like, let's say 95% we cannot control. And it's the ego piece that I think is worth highlighting. And I've done the same thing, you know, and it's like, it's so funny because it is the culture we're living in, but you know, I had a friend who did a book called Overwhelmed about the lack of leisure time. And she found out that, I think it was Denmark, that where women had the most free time. And so she went there and she was staying with a family and kind of following them around. And the husband was like head of the speaker's office in parliament or something. So like this really intense job.
Wow.
And he got home at 5 o'clock and she was like, how is this possible? And it turns out, well, if you're in the office after 5 o'clock there, people kind of look down on you.
Oh, wow.
Like, what is your problem? Why can't you get it together?
Yes. Was this Bridget Schulte and her?
Yes.
Yes. I thought that was so interesting. That, yeah, it was like, oh, you're being inefficient, you know?
Right. And I think mothers, you know, so here again, these are things we can't control unless we can move to Denmark, which, you know, I'm not against, but anyway, in the meantime, we also do it on parenting, right? Like, you know, mothers sort of subtly, bragging subconsciously or consciously to each other about what they're doing and what they made for dinner and everything. I mean, you see this a lot, right, Janie, on social media?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. This is so interesting because so like I just have kind of always been a person who genuinely does not care what other people think of me. And I swear to God, it's like the best life skill if you can get
such
it.
Because I want that.
It's like actually prioritizing your kids means making sure that you are sane. And if like what you need to feel like your life is working and is meaningful is, you know, just a little bit of time to yourself, then setting and enforcing those boundaries is absolutely you being a good mom.
When I took those 2 days off March 2020, my best friend died of breast cancer. She was only 35. Left behind four little kids. And I took 2 days off. That was it, to just kind of mourn her. And at the end of the second day, one of the influencers, if you will, that I work for texted me and said, you know, I think you'd feel better if you just started working again.
Oh my God, what an asshole. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
But like, and I was like, well, I guess she's right. Instead of being like, no, actually I need some more time. It was like, well, I need to make money. I'm not being paid. You know, I only get paid if I work. It's contract work. And when my first marriage ended, we lost our home. I foreclosed on a home. I had $37 in my bank account, a car that didn't run. I was 22 years old. And so it was like, it's me or no one. I have nothing. And it's not that I don't trust. I love my husband. We're not getting divorced ever. Hopefully, but like, it's not that I think he's leaving me or whatever, but that I've been through that. I've had to do it all in every sense of the word. And I can't let myself be vulnerable enough to open up that possibility again of losing everything.
I think like, if you haven't been in a position where like, you know, you're having to distract your kids while your car's being, you know, repoed. Oh. Or like, you know, or like going up to the cash register at a grocery store terrified that your card's not going to work.
And it doesn't work.
And then it doesn't. And you have to, it's yeah. like, it's really, that is really, really hard. And in this country in particular, absolutely terrifying because
right. there is no safety.
There is no safety net. No, yeah. no.
It ain't like France.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, there is nobody else. So I feel like, and I mean, for me and for a lot of people I know who've been through that, I think there is very much this feeling of I can never allow that to happen again.
Yeah.
So I am also a person that has like multiple jobs. Oftentimes what people will say is something like, you know, something to the effect of, well, why don't you like take on fewer work projects or why don't you, you know, and it's a, there's a yeah. little, it's a little blamey, you know, it's a little
yes.
bit like, why are you doing this to yourself? And okay, maybe there's some validity in that. But I think a lot of people, the big sort of societal assumption is that moms who are working are just doing it for a little bit of extra cash,
right?
Which is not the reality for most people
no.
and hasn't been for decades. So it's extremely annoying.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll talk about how to say no without feeling so guilty. And Amy will tell us about a time-tracking life hack that did wonders for her family.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you rely on How-To to help you manage your own hamster wheel, the best way to support this show is by joining Slate Plus, Slate's membership program. Signing up for Slate Plus helps us help all the people you hear on our podcast every week. Because, you know, our biggest complaint in our reviews is that people don't like hearing ads, which I totally get. And yet, we still have to pay the rent. So, this is your best option. Members will never hear another ad on our podcast or any other Slate podcast. You'll also get free and total access to Slate's website. Plus, you'll be supporting our important work. So I hope you'll join us if you can. To sign up now, go to slate.com/howtoplus. Again, that's slate.com/howtoplus. Thanks. We're back with Amy Westervelt, author and podcaster, and our listener Janie, who's a busy mom, occupational therapist, writer, and also hosts her own podcast in her spare time.
So it was called the F-Bomb Moms because our tagline used to be, we have it all together, we just forgot where we put it, which is kind of like story of my life.
Janie's real dream is to write her own book, but so far she's mostly been stuck ghostwriting social media posts for influencers.
I am writing birthday shout outs for 10-year-old girls I've never met. Like these women's children, I'm writing their birthday posts. Like it's so ridiculous. And I know, so I know how fake it all is. I know that they have a team of people helping them who are, you know, curling their hair and picking out their outfits and running their kids around. I think that actually has helped me realize that you can't do it all because they just have a team of people to make them look like they're doing it all. People like me.
So unless Janie clones herself, something's got to give. But how can she figure out what? Luckily, Amy's husband has a solution.
He's an expert in like the Japanese manufacturing method. So like the Toyota way and all of that stuff. And for years, he was like, we should apply this to our lives. And I was like, I'm a creative. Your spreadsheets mean nothing to me, you know, yeah. Get them away. But eventually, actually, after we had our first kid, I finally was like, OK, fine, you know, let's do it. So, I mean, this we did a very extreme version where like for a year we tracked how we were spending our time and our money and how that equated to sort of overall life satisfaction. And it was really revealing because, A, it sort of immediately showed that I was doing, you know, the lion's share of housework. So we sort of fixed that imbalance. And then it also just showed like, oh, I'm spending, you know, 100% of my work time on stuff that, you know, pays me, but that I find really unfulfilling. So like, can I carve out, you know, an hour a week to work on stuff that I don't necessarily know what the financial outcome of it will be yet, but I can spare that hour. That ended up leading to me getting a ton more paid assignments on stuff that I did care about.
So if you can't take a thinkation, try tracking your hours. That way you can start to see where there are gaps between what you care most about and how you're actually spending your time. If doing a spreadsheet feels totally overwhelming, then Amy has a nice invisible labor calculator on her website that we'll link to in the show notes. It shows how much you'd have to pay someone to do all the stuff you're already doing for free. It won't fix anything, but it is validating. And looking at it, you start to realize how insane it is to think we can have it all.
What it sounds like to me, and Jeff, please correct me if I'm wrong, is that like everything is kind of at the same level of priority right now. And that's really overwhelming when like you have 100 things and it's all, you know. And unfortunately, the thing that people always say, and I think it's kind of true, is like you can have it all. You just can't have it all at the same time, you know.
So one thing I've been thinking is, you know, because obviously occupational therapy, that's like, I went to school for that. I don't want to give that up. I love it. I feel like that's a career I can, you know, hang my hat on. And I just feel like I'm making a difference truly. And it pays better than the other things too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't want to get rid of that. But like, maybe I just say I'm only doing the schools or like schools and clinics. It would give me that pocket of like 2 hours of time.
Yes. Do it. But it just Janie, comes back. Do it.
It's so hard. And then it's like the guilt never ends though, right? Because then it's like, okay, I've had these clients for 6 years.
I see. So then you feel guilty if you say no to them. Yeah.
And I've become their family. Like that's my baby. Like
I remember years ago, I was really struggling with a lot of different people were asking me to do things professionally, which was great. And as a freelancer, right, you never want to say no because you never know when it's going to come back. A friend of mine sent me this book called The Power of the Positive No. The basic summary was, since I know you don't have time to read it, so the basic summary was, instead of just saying no to people, you say no, but it's like with an offer. So you'll say, you know what? I can't make that work, but I have this great person who, you know, I think would be perfect for this job. And here she is, right? And it helps kind of manage my own sense of guilt or inadequacy that I'm letting them down or all these things we tell ourselves may or may not be true, right? But, and plus then I'm helping the person who really does need that job more than I do at that moment. And so, so I've gotten a lot better at just remembering that it's like no and, you know, it's not just no.
It's important to remember that you aren't failing, the systems are failing you, and to try as much as possible not to like internalize and take on that personal responsibility and guilt thing. The thing that I looked at in my book is really kind of the history of how those expectations came about in the first place. And like just to sum it up in one sentence, it's basically to keep women from being active in any other part of public life. So
yeah.
Don't let them win. You have every right to, you know, have an internal life of your own and a general life of your own. And at some point, those kids are going to grow up and leave the house. And you don't want, you know, that to be, you know, like a bomb going off in your life where you suddenly realize, oh, I put all these things on the shelf and now I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah. No, that's so true. All of us have sons. And so what message are we sending, right? If we're just driving ourselves into the ground, you know, sometimes I say to my son, because I feel bad because I'm going to go exercise or do something that doesn't involve him. And I'll say to him, and I'm really saying it to myself too, I'll say, you know what? I'm going to be a much nicer person after I go running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want him to grow up to be someone who is not put off by women who live a full life. I don't know. I just wonder if that's a way to think of it, is like we are showing them what women and mothers should look like. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about how women can have it all. And I think the reality is neither can men in our society.
Correct. Yes.
You know, and so think about Janie, your husband's, that's a long day. And I bet he's not at a lot of those games, right? And things that he would like to do.
I think that that's huge. I think there's been this really weird idea that having to work all the time is somehow a win for men. And the reality is that in the last 30 or 40 years, as the expectation has increased for men to be more involved parents, and as men themselves have, you know, kind of said, hey, like I actually like being a father. It's not, you know, it's something I would like to spend time doing too. There's been huge pushback in the workplace against that and socially and culturally too. In general, I think our society doesn't value caregiving no matter what the gender of the person who's doing it.
I wonder, has any of this, Jamie, as we start to wrap up here, is there anything we've talked about that you think you might actually be able to do realistically?
I mean, there's several things. For one, I just feel like this conversation gave me more than anything the permission to do what I need to do to put myself first.
Yeah.
I'm a personal development junkie. Like, I can't even possibly explain that enough. Like, how many books I've read about being present or how to use your time better or whatever. And none of it told me or made me feel like, yes, Janie, go ahead, cut the cord, do the things. But just being able to hear from, you know, two women in the same position, how they've done it and that it is possible, I just feel like I have everything I need now to say to my kids and my husband and to my clients and my work, like, hey, this is too much for me and I need to cut back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And instead of thinking me, it's really for us, right?
Right. Like, 100%. And like, I'm thinking about specifically this sleepover. They were having this great time and I had to leave because I was so burnt out. Like, I had to walk away. They were doing nothing wrong, nothing. And I could just feel my, you know, blood pressure rising. Like, I was going to snap for them just playing.
Yeah.
And that comes from a point of just too much, like too much trying to, you know, I had just made them like hash browns and bacon and like try to make this great meal and be like super mom. Like, I can't.
I want you to come be my mom. This sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I remember this Halloween, I just worked so hard to make everything great. And then I went and took my son's friend home and I got home and my son wasn't in bed. The next day was a school day and it was just the last straw. And I just started yelling at him and he was in the shower and he just started crying. And I just was like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing? You know, it's like there's a cost, there's a price to pay for all of this. And it just builds and builds. So I just wanted to say, I hear you and I struggle with it as well. I think everybody does. And I'm just really glad that we had a chance to talk honestly about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeannie, if you want, I do have like a formatted spreadsheet for like time data gathering that I'm happy to send you.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Okay.
Thank you to Janie for being so excited about getting a spreadsheet and for sharing her story with us. We'll link to her podcast, now called The Momologue, in the show notes. And thank you to Amy Westervelt for all her great advice and her magic spreadsheet. Amy's book is called Forget Having It All, How America Messed Up Motherhood and How to Fix It. And her award-winning podcast about climate change is called Drilled. Check it out. And how about everyone else? Are you feeling overwhelmed by something? Send us a note at howto@slate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-495-4001. And we'd love to have you on the show. And if you find our show helpful, give us a rating in Apple or Spotify. And better yet, share our podcast with a friend. That way we can help even more people. How To's executive producer is Derek John. Rosemary Belson produces the show. Our theme music is by Hannes Brown, remixed by Merritt Jacob, our technical director. Special thanks to Amber Smith. Charles Duhigg created this show. I'm Amanda Ripley. Thanks for listening. And now back to the Hamster Wheel.